Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into reality.
Welcome to Startup Addict Episode 14, and today we're going to be talking about decision-making in business, which is great because I like making decisions.
All right, go.
No, yes, no.
How was Vegas?
It was awesome, actually. It was just nerding out with all my people. It was...
You had that one post with that TV that looked clear.
Yeah, that looked like a real... you were just looking down at like a real thing.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, clear. They had clear TVs, Sony's.
Not the clear one. The giant one... Where it filled up the whole frame, it looked like you were just like looking at life.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And How tall was it?
It was, I'd say about 20 feet tall.
Oh, that's so cool.
And super crisp, right?
Super crisp. It looked like they were right there. And it was nuts just seeing all that stuff. Went to the club, didn't get lost, which is good. I stuck with them, but that was impressive. Just, they were talking about this $10,000 booths, $5,000 bottles where the ladies actually come from the ceiling to deliver these bottles. Like they have like rigging operators and I guess they're in a green room up in the rafters and they just jump out, you know. I mean, it's crazy like the amount of money these clubs have. But
oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It was crazy, but it was fun. I had a good time. Didn't lose too much control. So
Have you tried the virtual reality, like the Oculus Go thing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So I don't know if I'm doing it right. I got the Oculus Go but it's not like super crisp. Is it supposed to be like super crisp? I don't know if I'm looking at it wrong. It's a self-contained headset, the Oculus Go.
Oh, it's just with your phone?
No, it's the buy it. But they have like a highlight of each game in the finals. So I watched after game four, I watched the thing the next day. But it's cool, but it looks like you're watching a video game. Like the players don't look totally real when you're watching the game. But what's crazy is then when they're filming from a seat, right? So when you're sitting there watching it, all of a sudden when the people next to you, I guess, get up and walk past you, it's so disorienting because they literally like bump into you.
in
the press conference, then they go in the press conference and you're watching the press conference, and but everyone looks small, you know, because it's the same way as when you film through your camera, it doesn't quite look like what you see with your eyes.
Yeah.
But then there's someone standing next to you, and it's just weird because then you tilt your head and look to the right, it's like someone's shoulders right there.
It's like you're a ghost, just kind of looking at somebody.
Bizarre. Somebody like, they're going to build it so you can actually feel them when they elbow you.
It was cool, but it wasn't, I didn't try any games yet. I watched a little Netflix, but I just wasn't sure what I was doing. You know, like when you go to a 3D movie and it's like, it's just weird for a minute and then all of a sudden you forget about it and you're into it. This one I was more aware of like the lag or whatever, or
The
pixelization.
Well, the regular Oculus VR where you actually have to buy a like $1,300 computer. I mean,
that one's probably pretty crazy.
Yeah, because it's all the processing power is done on this computer, not on this little headset.
Got it.
So
yeah, I guess that's why. All right, cool. Well, anyone who needs tech support, call Dennis.
Call me. Your 24-hour
on your Oculus,
7 days a week.
So this week, our topic is decision making in business. This topic, sometimes we have these topics planned out in advance, and this one comes at a interesting time because there is some big decisions that I've been trying to process and go through. So this one's a little more raw or current than some of the ones where you're, you know, we're looking backwards, which, you know, I think will be interesting and probably therapeutic at the same time. So I guess the first question is what's the process for making decisions?
Yeah. Major ones.
I'll do your part for you too, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just reading the text.
The coffee's out.
So the first thing we do is try to define what for me, right. And the way we've got everything set up is define what are major decisions. Cause obviously, nobody wants me to be making all the decisions, and I wouldn't be the best person to make decisions, and I don't even know what's going on or wouldn't have the best perspective on a lot of the issues and areas of any of the businesses. So I try to figure out when there's some decisions that ultimately fall to me, which I guess are like the for me, the major decisions. Everyone within the context of their own job has major decisions to make. And that's so mine aren't, you know, any more important or bigger. It's just sometimes there's shit I got to decide. So I try to take into account three areas. Like one is financial, which is obviously always plays a key role. I don't believe it's the most important. Some people don't believe it's the most important. Some people do. The other thing with these decisions is hard is like everyone has a different perspective. So I'm self-aware enough sometimes, I think, to think like, am I not exclusively focusing on the financial side because I have some financial security? Would I have thought differently when I didn't, right? So I look back and I think of early Zappos days and yeah, there were some times where I would have made the wrong decision in hindsight. Well, who knows? I mean, the wrong decision could have turned into the right decision because everything leads to something else. But it would have been because of my extreme focus on the financial side because I just wanted some money. But financial's one. Then I've always said the what's best for the brand is two. And it's not just like, it's hard to say, well, what does that mean? What's best for the brand? And I think it's just what gives the brand the best shot to be the best version of the brand, right? Is it like, say we're talking to an investor. Do we need, you know, are the pros of like getting an investor and being able to spend more on R&D and materials and whatever, right? You can make a better product. You might say that's better for the brand. Or is there a chance of, whether it's a gym or a restaurant, of like, would an investment allow us to get the brand in the most locations? Or nicer locations or whatever, you know, those are the, so that's what I mean, I guess, when I say what's best for the brand. Best for the brand is speaking totally not financially, totally not the human element. It's just that brand.
The entity that you created.
What could it, you know, where could it be? And then the third, and probably the most important and the most, you spend the most time on because there's so many variables. Is how it affects people involved individually and collectively. I'm one of the people, but so are all the people, right? And so that's the challenge. And a lot of times it comes down to the belief of like, you know, do you believe or not that, you know, by and large, all people, whatever position, are equal? And so you like to think that you're then trying to make decision that has the most upside for the most people, knowing that you could never have potentially everyone be happy, right? Everyone has different opinions and thought processes.
So financial, brand, and the people.
Yeah. So I try to define the decision, like what is the decision we have to make in these three areas?
I was going to ask, you don't weigh those equally.
I don't. I mean, just because I don't know. I definitely don't weigh them equally as far as amount of time spent. The financial one's the quickest. I mean, there's some variation of like, well, this could this lead to something which we're not thinking of? But that's kind of like, it is what it is. Here's the most logic. Here's what most likely happens in this scenario. Here's what most likely happens in this scenario. The brand is like more subjective based to people. You know, I mean, everyone says like, oh, I want the brand. I want what's best for the brand and the company. I separate out brand because company includes people, right? So I think it's weird to say company, but have that just be about an entity. It's the brand is like the whatever. For me, what's best for the brand, there might be a situation where you want like, someone would say that doesn't make any sense. Like that might be what's best for the brand. It'll be all over the place, but there won't be as much money in it. And so that's a trade-off based on people. And sometimes it's true and sometimes it's not true because sometimes the other path where in theory there's more money is unknown as well. So there's no guarantee either way. But people's the most, what you spend the most time on and the thing you think about the most.
It's probably the most complicated, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the one that, I mean, like even decisions in the past week, like I fucking waking up first thing in the morning, like not sleeping and I'm not sitting there thinking about money and I'm not sitting there thinking about a brand. Yeah. Right? I'm thinking about people and just trying to figure out like, I have to ultimately make a decision and that's going to affect people and it's not going to affect everyone the same. And the chance of everyone agreeing with whatever decision is minimal because even when you talk about it, there's multiple options, there's people that have preferences. So then you're just trying to figure out like, Are you being fair? Are you screwing anyone over? Are you missing something that's obvious that, like, you know? And this is all pre-decision. This isn't after the decision.
Yeah. Right?
This is all like part of the process. So once I've defined, I have those three areas. So for each one, I try to figure out, okay, one, what are the options? And I try to avoid too much time on options that might not be real or probable, right? So if you said, I want to turn Notcheria is going to be a $1 billion company. Well, how the fuck do we know that? You know,
yeah,
it could happen. Would that be great if it did happen? But there's nothing currently happening that would indicate that that's a path we're headed towards.
Yeah.
So I would try not to, because you have to have like these like outer boundaries of what you're comparing against. And so I try to figure out, okay, what's the most realistic scenario with each option?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, what are we, you know, like, for example, if you were saying, where do we get on our own? Where do we most likely get, and what are the upside and downside of that? Where do we get if we take an investor? What's the upside and downside of that? Where do we get if we get acquired? What are the upside and downside of that? And then I try, and this is really from my Zappos experience, which was frustrating at Zappos, but, and I realized that I think it's useful, and I still do it without even knowing that I was doing it, because I didn't create the process at Zappos. It was just kind of what naturally happened. We had a management team of 5 or 6 people, and we'd sit there, and I guess Tony knowingly or not created a lot of it by just asking questions, and then we would force to answer it, and mm-hmm. everyone kind of could see the scenarios. Is once you've defined what your options are, then you try to convince yourself that you're in favor or against each of them, right? So say there was stay the path, take an investor, get acquired. I would try to just force myself to think of all the good things that could happen with each one, right? And now the challenge is some people are naturally more optimistic than others, and some people are more naturally pessimistic than others. Mm-hmm. I tend to fall into the optimistic, which has its upsides and downsides, because I can see potential, but I might not think of some risks. But for me, the way my personality works is I can see the good scenario in each of them, right? So I might be like, oh man, if we could just keep doing what we're doing, we don't need anyone from the outside. We don't need any help. We can just keep on this path. And yes, that's what we should do. And I can be 1,000% convinced that's the right thing. And then an hour later, I could start thinking about, okay, well, what would happen if we got an investment? Oh shit. We should definitely do that. Right. And then I'll think like, what if we get acquired? And what was that? Wow. Yeah, we should definitely do that. So that's the good part and the bad part, is I feel like I'm really good. I can definitely like not good at it, but I can, naturally, it just happens where I can feel like it's going to happen, where I can get out of the point of like weighing the three up. I can just be totally focused on one idea. I'm not as good at seeing the flaws in them. I can usually list the flaws or the downsides to them, but I can't like feel them or like get excited about them. I'm just kind of like, so I generally try to ask more people's opinions on what's the downside, and then go with my own opinion more on what the upside is. Because the downside doesn't come naturally to me. So then once I've kind of formed my opinion, or I've thought like, okay, this is good, I try to figure out, okay, what's wrong with what I'm thinking, right? Some people naturally think what they're thinking is right. I tend to think like, because it changes and I can see the benefit in multiple things, it naturally creates indecision, which makes me think like, it must be something flawed in my process. I must be missing something. So I'll try to ask as many people as I can, or the key people, or the people's opinion I respect, like, you know, relative to that decision, like, what do you, like, here's what I think, what do you think? And like, and you get other people's perspective on it, right? And sometimes it reaffirms what you think. Sometimes it totally deflates what you were thinking, because you're like, oh shit, I hadn't thought about that. And sometimes it's a combination where they say something, well, have you thought about this? And how's it going to affect these people or this area of the business? And you're kind of like, ah, fuck, I hadn't thought about that. But then the fact that they ask the question forces you to think about it. And sometimes you think about it and you go, you're right. And sometimes you think about it and you go, you know what? I thought about that and how it would affect these people or this part of the business. And now I'm even more excited because look, I hadn't even thought about this. Look at all these opportunities it'll create. So then at that point, you usually have kind of a gut feeling of like, which for me is usually, it could be teetering between multiple things, or it could be, fuck, for an hour, I'm pretty good about this. But it's just kind of, there's nothing more to think about. It's like overload.
So you actually, so you get all these options, and you ask people, and you get all this input, and then at the end, you have to make a gut decision.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like you go to a fucking restaurant, and you're like, I'm going to a restaurant to get a fucking salad. And then you look at the menu, and you're like, pizza would be pretty fucking good right now. So would a burger, but I'm supposed to get the salad. And the salad probably has some upside, too, because I won't feel like shit.
I did work out today.
You know, pizza, so. I'm going to eat the whole thing, but it would be really good, but then I'm going to be fucking really full. The burger, that's probably in the middle somewhere if I put a bunch of lettuce and tomato on it, but sure. I still might feel like shit because I'm going to eat the plate of fries. You know, like it's no...
I'll get the salad.
Yeah, I don't mean to make light of decisions because obviously that only affects me. And so the challenge is decisions that affect a lot of people, you don't want to make light of or act like you're comparing it to ordering something off a fucking menu. But at the same time, you have to for your own sanity sometimes. I was listening to a podcast where it was the woman from who runs, I think it's Flywheel. And she just kind of said, you have to have perspective that, like, in a weird way, this whatever path you're on in business and the decisions you have to make, even though they're hard and they're emotional and this, that, and the other, you still have to find a way to kind of enjoy it and compare it to, like, it's not life and death, right? If it is a life and death situation, if that could be related to business, then that's totally different.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that because it's not life and death, it doesn't have really big effects on people in different ways. You know, it can kill or make dreams or assumptions people had or things that they were kind of like thought they were working towards that they've almost thought are going to definitely happen. It can change those things. But you still, the only, you know, you'll go crazy if you you have to at some point just, come on, just go back to a decision-making process. So I, you know, like someone asked me a couple of days ago, when are you going to decide? Because we know what all the options are. And one option being do nothing, right? So.
Let time make the decision,
yeah,
right?
But I was like, well, I don't know. Well, let me know when you're going to decide. Or I'm like, I'm just going to decide when. That's when I guess the gut comes back. When it just, how I don't know, there's no predetermined amount of time, but when it just feels like, yeah, that's the fucking decision, you know? Like, I'm not wavering as much, or I know my gut's telling me this is what you should do versus what you want to do or versus what someone else wants you to do or that. So I think that's the hard part is like, but it's like anything. You just kind of know. I wish you could set a fucking alarm clock, right? Like, you wake up in the morning because your alarm went off. You just wake up because your body's like, hey, wake up. Time to get up.
Yeah.
You know, there's like some reason, right? When you wake up, you're tired, fucking open your eyes, look around, say, fuck this, I'm going back to sleep. Versus wake up and you're like, all right, I'll get up.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing, but it's got to be, you got to get to the point where something other than you overthinking is just telling you, yes, this is, go. So when the gut and the brain are aligned, then there'll be a moment of clarity. It depends for different people. For me, I know that a moment of clarity could be followed by a moment of like non-clarity. So I just try to think, when is that? And yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. So I think it is different for other people. Like for me, if I have a conversation with someone, right? If I'm talking on the phone, I don't like having meetings that much. I don't like having phone calls from if I have to make a decision or someone wants like an educated opinion, because and just getting the information going in and then it starts spinning around my head and I start thinking about these other ideas around it. And my knee-jerk reaction might be emotional or yes, that's awesome, or no, that's terrible, or angry, or whatever. But for me, the process is let all that shit come out, let it go, and let it go, and then you got to get away from it somehow to forget about it for a second, and then you all of a sudden you'll be like, okay, I see the other person's point, or oh, I don't, what I thought was a good idea is not a good idea, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So that's the same one. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of it's kind of where I'm. It hasn't really changed. I mean, even back in, so in Zappos, we would argue and argue and argue, and we hated it at the time, because in that scenario, by the point we were arguing about should we go public or should we take an investor, or should we do neither. Actually, it was really should we get an investment, or should we go public. Tony was the one that ultimately was going to have to make that decision.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he was the majority shareholder. He was the biggest investor. He was the CEO. He was going to make that decision. And so the rest of us are contributing our opinions and arguing. And literally, like, it would change. Like, one minute I might be arguing for going public. The next minute might be like, well, what are the upsides of taking investment? And I'd be arguing for that.
Yeah.
Like, okay. hey, Lisa, what do you think the downside of going public? You know, so that, and we would hate it because we get pitted against each other, and we were all able to kind of get lost in the argument. And so we get really mad because during that argument, you really believed that like this path is the right path.
Yeah.
And then we get pissed at fucking Tony for making us fucking argue all the time with each other, because ultimately we go back to him and be like, at the end of each meeting, what's the, well, fuck, you're the only one that you have to fucking decide ultimately. And he'd be like, I don't know, just kind of want to see what you guys thought. And it was like, fuck you, you know, you're making us fucking yell at each other and we're all so enraged. And then we do it the next week. And I used to think that was kind of like a weird thing he was doing. And I don't know if he does this on purpose or not. I have opinions on that, but whatever. It could change us, right? Like sometimes I think, oh man, he was doing that purpose. Sometimes I think, no, he wasn't. He was just making us argue with each other. But like ultimately a lot of it was it wasn't a decision that could be made right away and quickly and easily. So we needed to go through this process of arguing over a period of time and each getting caught up in each scenario pro for it or against it. So then we could finally, at least we'd gotten everything out and we knew everything about it, and then Someone just had to make a decision. And a lot of times the decision was no decision, you know. Yeah. But like it was still good. So
how'd you guys manage that as coworkers and colleagues, in terms of like when you had those moments when you had to fight amongst yourselves but then still remain amicable afterwards, realizing that it is just a part of the process and nothing to do with it personally?
Well, I think we were, now it varied. I mean, we had times where we were mad at each other afterwards, right? Because sometimes in the course of an argument, you say things you don't mean or you push buttons or whatever. But it's part of that arguing, and it's part of getting the real thoughts out.
Right? Yeah.
And so what we were pretty good at, though, was we had worked together for a long time. So like Fred and I used to go at it on things, right? And sometimes it was cheap shots. Sometimes I didn't like his arguing, so I'd take a little cheap shot about something else, right?
Your feet are huge.
Or he'd know what my buttons were, and so he'd, in the course of this arguing about something else, he'd push a button about something else, and it was like get really mad. But we always had the ability to afterwards, like tease each other, for lack of a healthier term, to just kind of as the olive branch,
yeah,
right. And then we were always willing to accept that, and like let's get a beer. And yeah, I'm sure there's times when he then went home and was like, Nick's a fucking asshole. But like, it was kind of like, he was comfortable telling me that, and he was comfortable laughing about it afterwards. I mean, there was a time when he quit. He's like, I fucking quit. You guys, fuck you. I was like, what the fuck? You just quit? And the reaction was, dude, you're a fucking idiot. We're like teasing. Like, what are you doing, you idiot? Get back here. And then he didn't until the next day. He was fucking pissed. He's like, I went home, I told my wife, this is fucking bullshit. These guys are fucking assholes. I've been doing all this work. They're not appreciating it. Now they want to fucking take this over. This was about, we had a warehouse. I might have told this before. We had a store in Chico. We're going to get this warehouse. And he'd been going up there a lot, negotiating the lease and everything. So he just kind of, meeting the people and that. And so we just figured he wouldn't want to do it anymore. So Matt and I would go up and fucking run it. And we thought that'd be cool. But anyways, you know, it didn't work out that way. Yeah. He didn't see it as a offer of help.
Yeah.
He saw it as like an insult that he had done all this work and we were going to go up there and try to take all the credit. And it was like, no, we just want to do something different. But anyways, then there was Lisa, who's super argumentative. Still friends with her today, but we would just argue back and forth too. And I always tell her, hey, you like to, she would likes to argue about anything. So it would be like, dude, how are we going to get anything fucking done when you're arguing so much? And blah, 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 right? But we're still friends. We're still good friends. So we could argue about that and then separate it from the rest of the thing. And we all knew that we're all working towards the common goal of trying to find the best thing for everyone. And in the process of trying to find the best thing for everyone, what's best for each individual comes out. And everyone has to, like you have to have that balance of like taking everyone's individual perspective into account. In a perfect scenario, every what's best for each individual is also what's best for the decision.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most likely, you know, it's kind of like, hey, where do you want to go eat tonight? Someone's going to get fucked, right?
Yeah.
So like, fucking pizza, burgers, and salad?
So like,
I wanted pasta.
In those scenarios, right, it's like, okay, well, everyone's not going to be happy, but this can still be the best decision. Now, it doesn't mean it's the best decision for everyone. It just means someone ultimately has to make a decision that they think is best for the decision that has to be made. Yeah. Understanding that within the context of that, it's going to affect people in different ways. But the thing I think they had and I have learned was more just be patient, get lost in the argument, and like argue, have an opinion, but then there's a process to it. So then we don't have to make the decision right now. Go away and think until the point where it seems like on your gut, now is the time to make the fucking decision. You know, like we've either you learned that maybe you decide to do nothing. Maybe you decide to do nothing and you move forward and you find yourself wishing that you had taken a different path. And so you're like, you know what? Now that we didn't take that path and we know a little bit more, I kind of feel like that path might have been the best path for us. So you can go revisit it. Or maybe you move forward and you go into a situation where people are worried like, oh, this might be good or this might be bad. Well, let's just go into it and figure out what it is, and then we'll just keep adapting, right? Like part of it just comes down to like the faith in the people making the decisions, right? Because it's hard not to, like if you're not the one making the decision, or maybe it's someone's making a decision you feel you should be making, it's hard not to resent them or feel like it's bullshit. But like ultimately it comes down to the same thing it does at work, right? And the same thing it does on a day-to-day. Like, do you respect the people you're working with? And do you believe that they're ethical and working towards the same thing, right? If Julio is trying to fucking design something and he gives it to someone else and says, can you do this part for me? Well, obviously, if he thinks this person's flaky and is not going to do it, and then it's not going to be done when he needs it, he's going to be like stressed about that. He's not going to think that's a good idea. But if he thinks, no, if I ask this person to do it, they know that I really need their help, they're going to fucking knock it out and it'll be done. Then he can work on what he's working on because, you know, he feels good. Like, yeah, this is going to work.
Yeah.
But those are interpersonal relationships between people. It's not like a company-wide thing.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, what makes it even harder is you go, a lot of these decisions are based on someone selling you something, right? So an outsider coming in and saying, hey, I want to give you guys money and here's what's going to happen. Mm. Or, hey, I want to acquire the company. Here's why it's better. Or someone internally going, no, we shouldn't do anything. Here's why. Well, then you have to get, there's a whole nother fucking subset of things where now you have to figure out, is the person telling us, are they truthful, right? Yeah. Are they just trying to sell us something and so we'll sign on the dot and then it'll change? Or
yeah. And that's where the insider can kind of feel disrespected to a certain degree, right? Because they're like, well, you're valuing the outsider's opinion as opposed to somebody who's been in the trenches with you for X amount of time. And that's where you can take a little more personally than in other scenarios.
Well, like the Warriors. They want to get Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I'm sure that everyone on that fucking team loved Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Andrew Bogut. They won a championship together. They with them every day.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in them. They know they're good. And the toughest times on the court, they counted on them. And then it's like, Kevin Durant wants to come to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck yeah, we want Kevin Durant. It's fucking Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I'm talking about fans. I'm talking about the team. Okay, hey guys, we need you to come to this meeting in the Hamptons. You four, the most influential players on the team, and convince Kevin Durant to come join the team. Okay. What happens if he joins the team? Well, to be able to afford him, we're going to have to cut. We're going to have to release Bogut and Barnes. Guys you've friends with, you spent more time with than your families. Great guys.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I always trip out on that. Like, okay, that's think of all the interpersonal dynamics going on there.
Yeah.
Like, Harrison Barnes going, hey, Draymond, where are you going? Going to the fucking Hamptons to try to recruit Kevin Durant. Cool. Wait, if you recruit Kevin Durant, I don't play on the team anymore. I know, man. I wish I could play with you forever, but like, it's Kevin Durant. I would imagine. And Harrison Barnes goes, you know what? You're right. If they fucking told me you get Kevin Durant, but if you get him, you lose Draymond, he'd be like, all right, let's get Kevin Durant. But it's kind of like it's easy to gauge because you can look at the skill set or the stats or whatever and be like, yeah, he should get it. And like, that's a once in a, that's an opportunity that but it still takes someone self-aware, right? You could picture a guy on a team being like, going on a fucking Twitter tirade and like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
I fucking worked my ass off. I hit some big shots. I fucking practiced you guys every day. Now you guys are out here fucking trying to recruit Kevin Durant. Hope you fucking get him, because if you don't get him, I'm not coming back, dickheads.
Yeah.
You could picture that. But no, what happens? Harrison Barnes is like, I'm a professional. Yeah, I understand it. I would love to play with Kevin Durant. I'm going to go. What else? And then, you know, what probably happens there is there's not room for him. Or maybe there is room for him, but like under changed circumstances. Maybe it's like, hey, Harrison, you could still come back now that we have Kevin Durant, but we can only pay you X. Dallas is offering you the max. So if you want to come back, we'd love to have you. You're a great guy. But we can pay you whatever, $5. Dallas can pay you $10. And your role is going to be reduced because fucking Kevin Durant's here. Right? And Harrison Barnes could still go, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to make this into a mess and blah, blah, blah. Or he could be like, I understand it. I'm a professional. This is my job. And then there's probably a correlation between the way he handles that situation with Golden State and what Dallas actually offers him. Because Dallas is sitting there going, I'm going to bring this guy in. He's going to be a centerpiece of our team. We think he can do more here than he did at Golden State. Well, if they watch him be like, this is bullshit. Like Kevin Durant's better for the fucking team, but he's not better for me.
Yeah.
Then they're going to be like, maybe he's not the best teammate for the Mavs as we grow, right? So
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's just, but it's really hard, right? You could totally understand it if Harrison Barnes is like, fuck everyone else. I want to be on the Warriors.
It's understandable, but at the same time, that's why he's a professional, right?
Yeah. So I think it's but that's really hard, especially in, you know, in personal relationships, because everyone has a different reason they work somewhere or what they like about it or what they hope to get out of it, right? So you never know. Like maybe you're like, hey, if we get this investor, they're gonna bring in a new VP of marketing.
Yeah.
Well, fuck everyone else. I don't give a shit. I don't do marketing.
Yeah.
We don't have a VP of marketing, but the director of marketing's like, whoa. Part of the reason I took this job is because there was no VP of marketing. And so even though I'm only a director of marketing, as I learned, there's potential for me to become the VP of marketing. And now that doesn't exist. And then that's when you get into all these gray areas, right? So it's like, okay, well, it's true. You're doing a good job as director of marketing. But this person is like a rock star VP of marketing. So I'm not a rock star? No, you're a rock star. You're doing a great job, director of marketing. But like, you still have a few things to learn to be VP of marketing. And this person comes in and makes us all better. And then ultimately it just comes down to, okay, well, but anyways, we've gotten sidetracked in Warriors and VPs of marketing, but.
No, it's similar. I mean, I was thinking about, the now defunct Dragons. And then we were in a scenario where I think it had been, I don't know, about probably 2-3 months after I was let go. And then Nick brought in a couple other guys. And I had the opportunity there to be like, well, shit. You know, I think I would have done just as good of a job or even better job. So, and when they asked me to meet with them to kind of just lay out some of the stuff that we had done in that first year, again, I had a choice to be like, nah, fuck you guys. I'm cool. You know, like, y'all can figure it out on your own if you're so fucking good at your jobs. But at the same time, I was like, no. I love the company. I love the brand. And I love everyone that's associated with us. So yeah, hell yeah. I'll help out however I can. And then hopefully somewhere down the line, I come back and still be a part of the mix somehow, because I do love the brand that much. And it's eventually just worked out that way for me. But yeah, everyone has a choice at some point to be like,
yeah,
let their ego get in the way as opposed to like wanting to help out for what is the greater good of the brand and the company.
Yeah, I always think it's a linear path. So like I don't even know if that's the right word, but that's the word I chose. Is you just moving forward, right? I mean, and part of it is based on past experience. So I was told really early when I was getting all the noses apples, dude, if you find a deal, just get it and move forward. Like just keep moving forward. Nothing is most likely, whatever you're working on is not the one thing. Because there's going to be a bunch of things, and there's always going to be opportunity, and every turn creates more opportunity, right? So it's like, I look at it like I was talking to someone yesterday. It was a super helpful conversation because it like gave me a different perspective and kind of like validated some things I thought, but then also, you know, showed me I wasn't thinking correctly on some things I thought. And part of it was like, I've always said like, oh, I'm optimistic, right? When you get an investor, I'm not scared of getting an investor. I'm not scared of getting acquired. And the reasons aren't because like, well, someone said to me, oh, you got money, so you don't give a shit. It's like, no, that's not why, right? And it's not because I was like, it's not because I'm fearless, because I'm, you know, certainly not fearless. I'm fucking afraid of a whole source of shit. But, and I second guess myself and all decisions, and I'm, you know,
spiders.
Well, yeah. My wife tells me how wishy-washy I am, so I'm all over the place. But like in my experiences, investors have worked out well for me. Mm. Now, I would say, well, I prefer not to have investors, but that's not because the investors didn't work out well. That's just because I feel like it's just an additional thing, additional people to interact with. So I'd rather, in a perfect world, not have any.
Yeah.
So I don't have to, you know, deal with that. And then when Zappos was acquired, we spent so much time arguing about like, oh, what's going to happen? And like, I don't know if it was Fred or someone was like, oh, I want to get fired because they're going to have their own VP of merchandising and they're going to have this and they're going to have that. And it's like, and then it would ultimately come down to like, well, why would someone want to acquire you if they didn't believe in you and the way you're doing things? there are instances, right, where they just want to acquire some part of the business. Like, oh, yeah. I want the technology, so fuck the people. Or, but we are like a customer service and like friendly company, right? The businesses we have now, none of them are based on technology or a system, right? Yeah. They're based on people. And so I was like, I don't understand. I don't understand why people are afraid of these things and why they wouldn't think that whoever is talking to us has the best intentions. Could be naive, but I think it's also hard to live in reverse of that, where you just assume people are going to fuck you over. And I thought, I don't understand why. And then I was talking to someone yesterday, and during the course of this conversation, I was frustrated because I had had a argument with someone, and I was trying to figure out, like, am I wrong? Like, am I delusional? Am I completely in the wrong? Was I being a dickhead? Like, so I was just asking, I wasn't going into all the details, but I was asking people's thoughts on different things so I could try to gauge in my own head, like, what my gut was telling me about the argument versus, is that just my gut? Is that in my emotions or whatever? So anyways.
Do you think that happens because of breakdown in communications or not having a goal set or a clarity in terms of the direction they want to go toward? Or
I think it's probably, well, anyway, so in that, to finish that thought, thought, it was basically that my experience getting acquired had and getting investors had always been good. Zappos' big thing with Amazon is, like, if we do this deal, you have to let us stay basically as an independent company, same people making the same decisions, doing what we're doing, just growing with your support.
Yeah.
Amazon said, yeah, but you never know. Now, 10 years later, most of the same people are there in the same or bigger roles. Nothing seems to have changed. So that was, like, to me, it's like, oh, nothing to be afraid of getting acquired. Investors. Tony came in. He came in and he added to what we already had, right? He was an addition to the team. He wasn't replacing the team.
Yeah.
I didn't get, you know, it wasn't, when I left, it was because I wanted to leave eventually. It wasn't like, but that was 6 years after he invested, you know? So it wasn't like, I guess we just didn't feel threatened. Now, what was your question?
Oh, like what causes people to, like, when fights break out or arguments break out, what causes people to, do you think it's just a lack of communication that they didn't, that there wasn't clarity when they first started? Or?
Probably some form of clarity. I mean, for me, when I get in an argument with someone, it's very rare. So I got in, like, super heated conversations this week, and that's not, I don't even really remember, you know, like, when that happening, right? And so you get emotional. So you get different emotions. You feel attacked. You want to attack. You kind of, like, what do they say? You go red. You kind of, like, you're not thinking clearly. Now, I try the best within that conversation to, in real time, catch myself. So, you know, there's a couple times where I'm like, oh, you know what? My bad. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean that. In the course of the sentence, yeah. I might say something and be like, no, I don't mean that. That was me getting heated. I don't mean that. Let's, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I think it's when arguments usually get out is either there's some fundamental difference that you just see two things differently, and there's no natural resolution short of one person making the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's frustrating for the person who knows they're gonna have to make the decision that the other person won't agree with them. And it's frustrating for the person who knows they're not gonna get to make the decision, even more frustrating because they're like, I don't agree with you and I'm not gonna be able to fucking decide. And it pisses them off that they're not gonna be able to decide, right?
Yeah.
And then I think there's also, so sometimes it just comes up like that, right? And then sometimes there's backstories or things that have, like, nagged at people over the years, and so they, like, those things come out, right? And that would happen sometimes with, like at Zappos, right? I would tell Fred, like, I would get mad and I'd be like, you're never gonna fucking say your opinion until Tony says his anyway, because you're only gonna agree with
Ouch.
Him. We did a podcast and we talked about this, and
that's pretty funny.
He's all, what? But you know, and so I would, and I knew that was A, subconsciously what I thought,
yeah,
and B, a hot button for him. So I like to bring it up at the right times, right? Like, because it is what it is. When you're arguing, it's like you're fighting in a way, you know. And so, but with Lisa, like, for example, we'd argue. We didn't really have. There was anything about her that bugged me, other than the fact that she liked to argue all the time. So I didn't really have those things or buttons to push, right? And I didn't think of them during the thing. I think a challenge, like, within the context of our organization is, like, there's people that probably think you jump in and out, you don't even know what's going on. How could you ultimately make that decision? So it doesn't sit well with people. It's not that it doesn't sit well with them. It just makes them nervous. They think like, hey, I'm doing X all day long, and I should make that decision. But, and I go, hey, I've always, it's always known that I want to make these certain decisions. And I don't think this decision is based on those little details. Like, for example, there was a, in the decision I was trying to make, someone, or the thought I was having, someone was like, how does that affect, like, a lot of times you think about it from the perspective of the people who will be affected financially. Mm-hmm. So we were both accusing each other of not thinking of the people who it wouldn't affect financially, because it's not going to make a difference to them either way financially. It's more about opportunity and, you know, yeah, this, that, and growth and all that. And I was like, afterwards, like, man, okay, what is that all about? Like, am I being an asshole? Am I not fucking thinking about the right people? Am I saying in this argument, because no decision has been made, by the way. So it's not like I've made, I'm not talking retroactively about a decision that was made. I'm talking about a decision that I got to the point where I said, I think this is what I want to do. And then I reached out to the people that I thought that I'd been discussing with during that process, and that I thought before making the decision, I should reach out and say, here's what I want to do. Here's what I'm going to do, basically. But I want to reach out one more time to hear, like, to just talk it through. Yeah. And see if it one, if this, if how this conversation can get it to where it's 100% sure in my head. But I was taught, so that came up that, like, I don't really give a shit, you know, about people and this, that, and the other. And I was making the decision for the wrong reasons. You know, I was like, okay, well, I don't agree. And I'm trying to gauge the whole time, like, how much of this is just like emotion coming out of an argument, and how much of this is them telling the truth and me being blind to the truth. So when I had the conversation the next day, I had to think about that. And so I was like, oh, shit, okay. So there's, you know, I had to take, because it's hard when you have all these people and they think, well, how does it affect each person? So let me take this group of people, how would it affect them? And when it was pointed out to me that I wasn't thinking about them, it was true. I was thinking about them by and large, but I wasn't thinking about specifically like their career path and whatever, yeah, their specific opportunity other than the job they already had. Mm-hmm. Like if someone came to work here and they said, hey, I'm coming to work here for something that's four steps ahead, was I cutting off three of those steps? And then, you know, how does that, like, and is that, how does that affect everything? But then because the person, even in the heat of an argument, when we're arguing with each other, made this point, it made me realize that I hadn't thought that through. Mm-hmm. But thinking it through, I realized that the decision that I was arguing in favor of during this particular argument, there was way more paths. So it turned out to be I'm not glad that you're mad at me. I'm not glad that, you know, our relationship is, you know, damaged. And I'm not glad that you're upset. But I am glad that you asked me or accused me of not thinking about these people, because now that I've thought about it, now I'm more excited. But it's a weird one, right? Because, like, I was wrong about something, but then it wasn't wrong. I just hadn't thought about something. So sometimes someone will point that out, and you're like, you're right, I hadn't thought about that. And they'll change your thought to, let me change the decision this way. And sometimes someone will say, you haven't even fucking thought about this.
And you're like,
and that'll actually validate your decision. So it's fucking complicated and weird. And the hard part is, ultimately, what I realize is I would prefer not to be the one that has to make decisions.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, sometimes I'm like, man, why can't people just relax? And can we just, you know, I'm pretty relaxed, and I like to joke around and informal. And I honestly think I talk the same way to everyone.
Yeah.
Like, if it's some quote unquote bigwig on the phone or someone who's just started working a week before on the first job, I feel like I hope my personality is the same.
Yeah.
You know, I would tease both of them and I would be nice to both of them. Maybe not in that order, but they, so I lost my train of thought. What was I saying?
You were saying that you don't want to make decisions.
Oh, yeah. So ultimately I don't want to make decisions, but I have to, right? So it pissed me off before when I couldn't make the decision at Zappos sometimes. Now, sometimes the decision I would have made would have been good. Sometimes the decision I made would have been really bad. Yeah. When I was focused too much on money, it would have been bad. I would have sold the company a long time before we did, if it was just up to me.
Yeah.
And then you know, it's hard. Then I realized this whole learning experience was like, shit, I'm not, there's some situations where I can't just be one of the guys, and I have to, people look to me to make a decision. When I was talking to someone yesterday, I was like, well, I'm glad, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to a few more people. I want to tell them what I'm thinking. And it was weird to hear, hey, I appreciate you telling me what you're thinking, that you value my opinion. But ultimately, I'm probably looking to you to make the decision. Yeah. So like, it was like, okay, because it's that fine line of like making people's, getting people's opinion, using that data to make the best decision and making them feel like you're using it, versus at some point there's a negative effect, right? Like we had a meeting last week where I wanted to have a meeting, a super casual meeting, just to like kind of like hear thoughts and like people that I don't necessarily always sit down with and just say, hey, what are some random thoughts? And then to them it was casual but not casual. Like it was like, oh shit, he hasn't asked us to come in and talk about this. There must be, I need to get prepared. Like I'm always surprised when I, like last week when I text people, hey, can we meet for 15 minutes, just pick your brain on a few things. It's always like, what do you want me to prepare? I'm like, don't prepare anything. I just want to pick your brain. But that's not fair, right? Because in a way they're thinking, hey, it's the owner of the company, he wants to talk to me. And so it's hard for me sometimes to understand that, because I don't walk around thinking I'm the owner of the company.
Yeah.
I just walk around thinking, hey, what's up? You know? And so I realized this process has made me think, man, okay. So there's a way you handle the decision-making process too. So I've been tripping out on like, wait, should I be internalizing this process more, right? Yeah. Like, am I, the fact that I'm asking people their opinion so much and letting them know, being comfortable letting them know that I could see multiple scenarios and I haven't fucking decided yet, is that like putting too much of the burden back on them and driving them fucking crazy? And at least one person said, I just want to do my job. I like the fact that when I come here, I know exactly what I have to do. I know exactly what I'll be judged on. And as they were saying that, I'm like, shit, I was going to ask your opinion on some things, but like, I thought that was good. You know, I thought you would be appreciative and like happy about the fact that I was asking your opinion and including you on a decision that you wouldn't otherwise be included on.
Yeah.
But then I realized, well, that's just an assumption of what I would want. This person doesn't want that. They want to just focus on what they're focusing on, know exactly what they're being judged on, and have faith that whoever's making those decisions is making good decisions. So that was a trip for me. I was like, shit, okay. Because I'm a total oversharer. So I'm like, fuck, maybe oversharing, which I see as a positive, is actually a fucking negative, and it's fucking driving everyone insane.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, that was the, but anyways, that's the decision-making process is basically mostly gut. Get as much analysis, or get as many facts as possible. Get as many opinions as possible from the people that you want to hear their opinions.
Yeah.
Won't be able to agree with everyone, most likely. And then ultimately you have to make a decision, and you have to live with the fact that the decision is not the best decision for every single person that's affected by it.
Yeah.
But, and then as a person who doesn't ultimately get to make the decision, all you can do is share your opinion, and then ultimately for yourself decide, okay, I've shared my opinion. This person doesn't agree. So I can either trust that maybe that decision will still be the best, even though I didn't agree with it, and like, let me see what happens. Or you can, you know, be like, no, I don't agree with that decision. It's time for me to do something else.
Yeah.
It's totally simple. You know, there's a whole bunch of times people come to you and say, hey, can I get this? Can I do that? And it's like, what would you tell someone working for you if they said that? Well, I'd say no. What do you want me to say?
I want you to be different, Nick.
So, anyways, I don't know if that was interesting to anyone or me just rambling.
I was going to say that I think it helps someone like in your position. It helps you sleep better at night, I think, when you're able to be super honest about the process and whether you've been able to actually dissect everything and been like, yes, I thought about this, I thought about that. Cause I thought that was really interesting what you were saying. You know, somebody argues a certain point and you get someone else's perspective. So that way, when you go back to the negotiating table, you go, no, I did take that into consideration. So at the end of the day, when you do make the decision, even though it might not be the best for everybody within the company, you sleep better at night knowing that I did do my due diligence and I was able to look at every angle possible, I think.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Right now I'm in the can't sleep at night part of it, where you're thinking about specific people and how it affects them, and then you're also thinking about, it's also the other thing, interesting thing about decision making process is how the process itself goes, right? So during the process, sometimes you see how people handle that process.
Yeah.
And then
you
that
learn,
affects.
You learn a lot.
So sometimes you're like, sometimes going through a process of looking at options and then deciding to do nothing doesn't become do nothing. It still means, okay.
You've learned how other people would
now,
that.
Now we still need to do something, but it's not any of the things that we thought it had to do. So it's not easy. And obviously, we always say the most important thing to each person should be themselves. So, you know,
you can't blame
other
him.
Than the person making a decision, you have to compartmentalize that. You have to, of course, your brain's going to go to what's best for you. And what's best for you may be financial, maybe brand, it may be people, it may be some other reason. But as the person making the decision, you have the responsibility to kind of like not make it based on that. You know, if you the way to explain a decision is it's just best for me, then that's, you're not going to be making decisions for very long for very many people, because everyone's going to be like, fuck you. But if you can be like, this is not the most popular decision, but here's why I think it's the best for the greatest number of people in the company.
Yeah.
Then you just live with that. You live with, you know, hey, and there's no hard feelings, and it's just the way it is. And if you're the person that doesn't get to make the decision, then you just focus on, hey, okay, I spoke my piece. Here's the decision what was made, and here's how that affects me, and just is what it is. And it's hard because you just say it's just business.
Yeah.
But I've had some calls this week which devolved, and I wish they hadn't, but devolve into, you know, more just like personal arguments.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't sleep mostly, because you go through a process and you're like, man, you go through a process trying to make a decision. Maybe the way I go through it is frustrating for people involved in the process. But then it's frustrating that you lose a friend, or your relationship with a coworker changes to where now it's just strictly coworker.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, so it's, you know, it is, you know, we always talk about, it's the same in life and business. It's hard to, they overlap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's also, you know, nothing's black and white. There's always gray areas, you know? And so I always have a hard time in those conversations. I'm not very good at articulating some of those sometimes, of like, you're doing this really well, you're not doing this very well. So you don't think I'm doing anything very well. Well, no, what I think you're doing this well, but not this well. Or, hey, as a company, I think we do this really well, but we're not as strong here. So that's why maybe this option is appealing. And it's like, you know, sometimes it's harder for the people who are most able to articulate what we're doing well to accept what we're not doing well. And sometimes it's hard for people who are so focused on what we're not doing well to look at what we are doing well.
Yeah.
And there's like that balance in there somewhere. But anyways, I don't know the fucking answer. I'm just learning on the fly.
Yeah,
and it's and I think that's the case. You just keep, you know, things happen. You just keep going.
The majority of it's learning on the fly, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And speaking of decisions, that's it for our episode.
You're deciding to end the episode.
I'm deciding the episode.
And
after what I heard, we're ending.
We're done. And hopefully, whoever's listening will decide to subscribe to us on YouTube, because we're getting super close.
Ooh, so close
to that custom URL.
Ooh, custom.
Follow us on Instagram @thestartupaddict, and thanks for listening.
Yeah. Ciao.